Hello and welcome to our reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. As we've heard the sad news just this Friday of Prince Philip's death, it seems fitting that we continue to remind ourselves of the hope and joy that we have because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. The hope of resurrected life and the joy of unity with God. When we hear of death, or it affects us ourselves, we do not have to be afraid or despairing, because we can have faith in the resurrected Christ, who offers us all the freedom from death and fear by believing in him. It is the first Sunday after Easter Sunday, and for many, perhaps, it is just another day, a returning to normal. Children go back to school after the Easter holidays tomorrow. The bank holidays have passed, and now Easter just feels like memories. But we should not feel like we have hit an anticlimax, because Jesus is still alive, and that is still cause to celebrate and be joyful. We continue to look at the resurrection appearances, that those accounts recorded in the Bible where Jesus met with his followers in the days after his death and resurrection. And so we're going to read a couple of those accounts from John 20. And we're going to start with verses 19-25. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." We've just read an account of Jesus appearing to his disciples and confirming his resurrection from the dead. But Thomas was not with them. We don't know why Thomas wasn't there, but when he returns, the disciples are quick to tell him, "We have seen the Lord." And Thomas replies with those famous words, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, I often think that Thomas gets a pretty bad rep. He has long been referred to as Doubting Thomas, and is sometimes even condemned for his lack of faith. However, the other disciples didn't believe the women when they came with the joyful news, saying those same words, "We have seen the Lord." Those disciples dismissed the women as speaking hysterical nonsense. They too had to encounter the risen Jesus to believe in his resurrection. They too were shown his side and his hands. Admittedly, by the time we get to Thomas's encounter with Jesus, there had begun to be other accounts of Jesus appearing to his followers. However, I do still think that we should have more compassion on the doubtful Thomas, because I feel that if we were in his shoes, we too would have been a bit doubtful and a bit surprised at what was going on. But it was compassion that Jesus himself had on Thomas. I continue to read from John 20, verse 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So that's the ending of John's Gospel. So we have this story where Jesus meets with his disciples, but Thomas is not there. And then a week later, Jesus meets with his disciples again, and this time Thomas is with them. Now, there are many ways that Jesus could have dealt with Thomas. He could have been angry with Thomas's lack of faith. He could have scolded Thomas for not believing what he had been told. He could even have been dismissive of Thomas, perhaps thinking if Thomas couldn't believe in him, then he wouldn't bother with Thomas any longer. But instead, we see Jesus reacting with compassion and love towards Thomas. He repeats Thomas's words back to him as an offer of invitation to do exactly what Thomas claimed he needed from Jesus. Put your fingers here. See my hand. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Jesus met Thomas at his place of doubting and offered to bring Thomas into a place of faith. To me, this is such a beautiful moment because Jesus doesn't just do that for Thomas. He does that with us too. When we have our moments of fear and doubt, Jesus is there, holding out his hands and inviting us to step with him into our journeys of faith. As we look at this story and at the other accounts of Jesus' resurrection, where do you find yourself in the story? Do you stand with those who eagerly say, "We have seen the Lord"? Are you eagerly longing to meet with him more and more? Are you looking to invite others to meet with him as well? The women ran to tell the disciples about their experience of meeting Jesus. The other disciples excitedly told Thomas about Jesus appearing to them in the locked room. How have you encountered Jesus for yourself? And how can you tell people about your experiences? Or perhaps you're with Thomas and you're saying, "I will not believe unless I have proof of the risen Jesus." Jesus holds out his hands in invitation to you, inviting you to investigate and learn for yourself the truth of the resurrected Christ. Take the opportunity, take the invitation to meet with Jesus and know that he is alive for yourself. Or are you still metaphorically sitting in a locked room, still living in fear for your life? After the crucifixion of Jesus, the disciples hid themselves inside a locked room, hiding from all those who might harm them for following Jesus. They believed that everything was lost and that there was no hope for them. But the resurrection of Jesus restored their hope. It gave them a renewed hope, a new hope of eternal life. They were confronted with evidence that death is not the end, that death has been conquered and overcome. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, we, like the disciples, would be without hope. We would be living in great terror of death because we would still be cut off from God, unable to breach the chasm. We would not know of the glorious riches that await us when we are united with God for all eternity because of Jesus' death and resurrection. But because of the resurrection, we can truly have hope of a resurrected life with Christ and joy at finally being reunited with God after so long of rebelling against him. This is the wonderful truth of Easter. And it is why we don't have to feel a sense of anticlimax as the day we celebrate as Easter Day passes, because Easter never passes. It never ends, because the hope and joy of the resurrected Christ stays with us. The risen Jesus walks with us by the Holy Spirit, who dwells within us. Easter does not finish on Easter Sunday or Easter Monday, but carries on to time everlasting. And so our hope and our joy remains with us as we celebrate that Jesus is alive. Hallelujah.